And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, it turns out here in Massachusetts, there are enormous forces at play in the climate movement. Massachusetts has set a goal of decarbonizing its economy, decarbonizing everything so Massachusetts is clean. A lot of specifics about net zero by 2030, 2050, percentages, whatnot. But the big picture is that there's an urgent drive to get carbon dioxide emissions out of the Massachusetts economy. Lots going on there. But for example, one of the things that becomes apparent is that buildings are an enormous source of carbon dioxide emissions. You know, structures in Massachusetts, your homes, businesses, the mall, but a lot of homes are contribute a significant amount of greenhouse gas emissions that the state's counting and wants to get rid of. And so the question arises how over the next decade or so, Massachusetts is going to get all those buildings in Boston and Lowell and all those buildings out in the western part of Massachusetts, how are we going to get all those to be non-carbon emitting? It's a big challenge. That's a future. And because that question is so big, we wanted to talk to an expert, someone who knew the details and has a vision about what we ought to be trying to do here. So we're happy to be joined by Ania Carmargo, who wears many hats. She is on the campaign team for Mothers Out Front statewide, doing all the good work that the nonprofit Mothers Out Front is doing. She is the coordinator of something called Gas Leaks Allies, which is the organization that broke a very important report about the way Massachusetts is replacing its leaking gas pipes. But she's also on the board of an organization called HEET, that's H-E-E-T, which has done groundbreaking work in terms of defining visions of how we can go forward. So we're thrilled to have with us Ania Carmargo. Welcome. How are you doing, Ania?
Well, thanks, Ted. I'm doing fine. I'm doing well.
Great. So I tried to paint a little picture of what the stakes are for Massachusetts in terms of decarbonizing over the next decade or so. Did I get it right? What should people know about what direction we have to go and how to think about it, really? Or, you know, how should people think about this question?
Well, I think you framed it nicely. I think we are at a crossroads. We know we have to be net zero by 2050 and that we have to reduce our emissions 50% by 2030. So the thing we have to do is look at, well, where are our emissions and then tackle those biggest sectors. The biggest sector is transportation. And I think we were doing well with TCI. Now I'm not sure what we're going to be doing, but hopefully we'll be electrifying our fleets and coming up with new ways for transportation here in the Commonwealth. There's electricity, and the state has a good plan for electricity. Every year, 3% of our electricity has to be more renewable. But when the third biggest source is how we heat our buildings, which is about a third of our emissions. And we actually don't have yet a plan for how we are going to decrease those emissions. The state, the Department of Public Utilities did ask the gas companies to come up with a plan through a process called 2080, DPU Docket 2080. And that is happening. And so we will see that in the next 6 months, probably. They have to come up with a report. But for the last 2 years, we have been thinking, and when I say we, it's Mothers Out Front, it's the Gas Leaks Allies, it's HEET. All of us have been thinking, well, how can we do this in the most equitable way possible that also includes labor? And how can we do it as fast as possible? And so I think that is a little bit of what we're, I mean, in terms of the big picture, why we've taken on this challenge. And so as you mentioned, we have a very leaky gas system. And so one of the questions that we have is, should we be investing in that leaky gas system to keep us on gas, or is there a way to do it better?
Well, let me just go back. I think you said some very important words about, you know, equity and speed. And those are the kinds of balances that wise people have to address when it comes to climate change, right? We have to bring everyone along. We got to do it quick, and we want to do it wisely. So I commend you guys for identifying those parameters of the discussion, I guess. But tell me, what is the, if you were the head of, say, we say czar of Massachusetts and could give commands and have make things happen, what sort of stuff would you, maybe I should say czarina, but what would you do? How would you change things?
In terms of the heating sector?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, if that's what you've been focused on, what in terms of so, how so, do you go about changing how people heat their homes?
So the first thing that we have to start doing is making sure that everyone's home, that we're retrofitting folks' homes, because a lot of our, because our buildings are very inefficiently heated. They are leaky. So we're using more energy than we would need. So the first step is making sure that across the board, we are making sure people have tight envelopes and good ventilation systems, and that, that we're using as much energy, as few amount of energy as possible, as little amount of energy as possible to heat people's homes. Right. And then you have to say, okay, then we have to electrify everything. So you're minimizing, and then that electricity that you're using has to come from renewable sources. So that's sort of like the three-step approach, sort of energy efficiency, and then your source, and then cleaning up the electricity. So
the weatherization's an interesting, there's a lot of job. I mean, that's really
huge
attractive.
Jobs.
It's a huge job engine there, right? Think of all the buildings in Massachusetts, as they say, from downtown Boston to out in Stockbridge, right? That all somebody's got to go do something about, right?
Yes. So that is a huge jobs opportunity, but it's also an opportunity to think about it collectively as a society, which is that it should not only be done by the folks who can afford to do it, but it really should be done for every home in Massachusetts, because it benefits all of us, right? When you're talking about climate, it's beneficial to have everybody on board. So when it comes to the gas system, what we're seeing happening is that the people who are wealthy or who are very informed are starting to electrify their homes and getting off of gas. And if you think about it, you talked last week with Dory about how expensive maintaining the gas system is. Well, that gas system is spread over the number of people who are paying for gas. If you make that number smaller, because the people who can afford to not have gas in their homes leave the system, you're basically making the people who can least afford it shoulder the costs of maintaining this gas system. And so that is what we're trying to avoid, is we would like to be able to have a transition where everybody has access to clean energy. Mm-hmm. And so that's why our proposal, which we will get into a little later, the future of heat, is very much about how do you use the existing infrastructure and existing labor to transition the heating system to non-emitting renewable sources of energy.
And that's just to be clear, that's, I mean, in some sense, everyone's home is electrified already, right? You already have electricity in your home. But when you say electrify homes, what you're meaning is to eliminate the use of gas, right?
And oil and propane.
Yeah. Right. I mean, any sort of fossil fuel, but I mean, many people have gas in their head, right? So the home heating, in the primary target is home heating would be gas, but you can think of water heating. You can think of your stove. You can think of how you dry your clothes. I mean, electrifying the home is basically getting all that stuff out using electricity to do those services that we have take for granted now. And the big enchilada here is home heating, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So tell me more. I mean, we imagine a big program. In order to decarbonize, we imagine we're going to weatherize everyone's home, make it more energy efficient so they have less demand for energy. Then we're going to come in and electrify, in quotation marks, which is how do we go about swapping out, again, we'll talk about gas heat because it's easy, right? Gas or oil. How do you talk about swapping
out? So anything. So the most efficient way to electrify, to heat your home with electricity is through heat pumps. And there are many sources of heat pumps, but I think the one that people most know about are the air source heat pumps. And so there's many folks who are doing that right now. What we are proposing is a system of networked ground source heat pumps. So what we would like to see is to give the gas companies sort of a new business model, an opportunity to transition and change their gas pipes for water pipes and basically have all of the homes connected. Right now, all of the homes are connected with pipes to a main gas pipe. What we would be doing is changing that so that it's water pipes, and then every home on that network would have access to geothermal energy, so the energy of the earth, which is at a constant temperature. And so it's even more efficient. Ground source heat pumps are even more efficient than air source heat pumps because the temperature is stable. Uh-huh. And when you network them, when you're putting them together, that increases the efficiency further because you can share energy between buildings.
Let's take a moment, demystify the word heat pump. So for the person who may be listening who's never has heard the word heat pump, but it sounds, it's pumping heat seems somehow magical. I mean, the reference I always come back to is that you already have a heat pump in your house. It's called a refrigerator. The refrigerator is pumping the heat out from inside the box and putting it on that hot radiator that's behind, right? So heat pumps are fairly well-known technologies, and that's all it is. Would you agree? I mean, that's
all it is. It's basically transferring, if during the winter, you are transferring heat from the outside into your house, and during the summer, you're transferring the heat from inside your house to outside. So it's more a transfer of heat versus a combustion of energy. So that when you have like a gas boiler, it is combusting to be able to do that. This is not about combusting. This is literally about moving temperature from inside the building to outside the building or vice versa. So that's another huge benefit, is that it's an air conditioner too.
And the further idea about bringing, if any question is, okay, fine, I got a refrigerator, but my refrigerator is not using any water anywhere. But the refrigerator would behave better if it had a stable temperature of something it could be pushing the heat into, instead of that crazy radiator that gets all covered with dust and then doesn't work very well, right? I mean, and that's what the geothermal water is. It comes in from the, you would put it through pipes just like you get gas now, instead of be water that is constant temperature from deep in the earth, and it's all safe and it makes the refrigerator work better, right? Is that a way to think
about it? So, and just, I think people, when they hear the word geothermal, they think of lots of different things. So when you think of Iceland and it's like deep rock, lava rock, and you're getting like the heat of the earth to come up to, that is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about deep drilling into the earth. It's really like 200, 500 feet in the ground, there would be, and the idea is that it's boreholes along the utility right of way. So it's not underneath people's homes. And it's an ambient water loop that is in the street. And so when it leaks, it's not gas, it's not explosive. It just waters your trees. You have a little.
And the magic is, if you go down, I mean, again, this people kind of know this, but it's like, your basement is warm in the winter and cold in the summer because it's sort of insulated. If you go down several hundred feet, the water that you get is, I think it's 50 degrees all the time, summer, winter, whatever, because it's basically insulated. That's the magic, right? You dig a little bit of a hole, you get this water at constant temperature, which then makes the heat pump behave even better, right?
That's right. And what we are proposing is, it's sometimes known as district energy. I mean, like, people think of district energy, although what district energy has usually a single source of the heating. So like a gas power plant creates the heating and it can share it between buildings. So we are, it's sort of a combination of, we don't have a single source. We have it boreholes along the road. And then that are gathering the heat from the earth or putting the heat back into the earth. And they're sharing it between buildings. And so there is no fossil fuel infrastructure associated with it. Unlike in Massachusetts, we have some district energy systems that are gas fire plants.
But let me just specifically call out, though, that this is a brilliant concept, right? Is this wonderful proposal. You say, look, we could do this. All those gas, the gas right away, the gas company, it all gets transitioned from gas to water. The guys that take care of the gas pipe still get to take care of the gas pipe. So you keep all those jobs. You maybe have new jobs to actually implement this stuff. It's a proposal as to how, on a massive scale, we could electrify homes, right? That's the nub of it.
It's utility scale. I mean, I think that the beauty of this is that it would be done at utility scale. So it has the advantages of keeping the workers and provide, you know, it's minimal retraining of the gas workers, and you could keep them with the same types of wages and livable wages. So that's a beautiful thing. But also you're doing whole street segments and neighborhoods. So you really are decommissioning the gas system in those street segments and neighborhoods, because what happens, again, if you go back to the state's current plan, which is a one house at a time, they're providing incentives for one house at a time with air source heat pumps. You could see a street where two or three people electrified, but the rest did not. And so you're still maintaining and keeping that gas system as people are getting off, versus this is a way to trim back the gas system in a way that you're still providing heat and you're doing it equitably, because it's everyone on the street has an opportunity to be a part of this. And it's not just the people who can afford to get off of the system.
I love this idea, but let me send us in a slightly different direction. Of course, it's going to cost money to do this kind of work. Where would you get the cash to keep everybody digging these wonderful holes?
Well, so that is the beauty of the GSEP program. So the GSEP program is the system that we have right now approved by the state, which allows the gas company to repair their leak-prone infrastructure with entirely new infrastructure. It is going to cost us $20 to $30 billion. And so our proposal is, instead of using that money to keep us on gas and to sort of perpetuate this dependence on gas, is to use those funds every time you're digging up a street to replace leak-prone infrastructure, instead replace it with this networked, these networked geogrids, mm-hmm. With pipe, with water.
You're saying, so the state has already committed, you say 20, you know, let's just say $20 billion. We've already committed $20 billion with a B to the program of messing around with the existing pipes. And you're saying, oh, wait, all we need to do is redirect that money to this other concept of the geogrid, and the sun comes up in the morning.
Well, so that is the idea behind what we are proposing. We're saying there's a smarter way to heat homes than to continue to combust with gas. And so this is a solution that, and also it just would give the gas companies a path to decarbonize, to move away from gas. That would you know, keep their existing pipes, their knowledge, their labor, and they're still heating homes. They're keeping their customer base.
Yeah, so, man, I think it's win all the way around, because instead of, in a sense, fighting with the gas utilities and making them die somehow, right? You're saying you're enlisting them and all of the resources and wisdom that they've built up over 100 years or so into doing this good thing of electrifying homes. I mean, it's wonderful.
So that's the idea. And I think that from the consumer perspective, it's really wonderful, because they're getting heating and cooling. There's no combustion inside their house. There's a lot of evidence that, leaks are inside your house and outside. Leaked gas is not great for you, but also combusted gas is not great for your health either. So you'd have cleaner air quality. You know, this is proven technology. It's not some sort of crazy new thing. Well, there's college campuses across the country using it. And then when you think about your bills, there's no fuel source. So that sort of half of the bill that's the gas that you're paying for is gone, because we would no longer have a fuel source. All of the money is going to be sort of this infrastructure money, which is currently half of your bill also. Roughly.
I love that, because we talked to Dr. Seavey a couple weeks ago about decoding your gas bill. And it turns out that we said 2/3 of the payment you make every month is simply to maintain the infrastructure, maintain the pipes. It's not even for the gas you're burning, right?
Yeah, and I don't know the exact breakdown of the bill. I think it depends on your bill. But
it's a big chunk of the bill, right? And, yeah. And you're saying that under this program, that big chunk of the bill would be going to something that is a societal good instead of, you know, having leaking pipes.
Well, you would not be paying for gas, and you're not sending money to, the places where, that you know, we don't have gas here in Massachusetts. So we're sending money to out of state to buy the fuel that we bring into state. So basically all of our money would be going into state and the bills. And it is, so installing these systems, we're trying to figure out how much it's going to cost. There's currently, there are two approved demonstration projects right now, that one from Eversource, and they're hopefully soon will announce where their pilot site will be. And then there's one that the Attorney General negotiated with the settlement of the Columbia Gas. There's supposed to be another pilot, or rather demonstration project. And so we will know more about the cost. The expectation is that the cost to install these will be more, but over the lifetime of the project, the bills will be lower. So customer bills will be lower. They'll have cleaner energy. We'll have fewer emissions. You have better air quality. You have air conditioning. And we have a plan for how to pay for it. So that's the benefit.
So this is a fantastic concept. I think that you have been instrumental in translating this concept into actual legislation that would implement this. And what I'd like to do is invite you back for another show to chat about, how do we get, so there's this beautiful city on a hill picture of this beautiful future we could have. What are the concrete things that we can do to get there? How can people help? Can you come back on another show and tell us more about the specifics of how we nitty gritty make this happen?
I would be happy to do that. So come back and talk about the future of heat, Bill.
That's right. So what I'm going to do is I'll put up links to some of the stuff that we've talked about. We've covered a lot of ground, but we'll put up links on the blog. It'll be on the MCAN blog. That's www.massclimateaction.org/blog. The show will be there. Hot links to stuff will be there so you can follow through. If you have a question about this show, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about and how much you like our show. If you're listening to us on you're probably listening to us on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, of course, by searching for Climate Minute with Massachusetts Climate Action Network in there. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Ania, thank you so much for coming on. I look forward to our future conversations about how we're going to do this.
Really nice talking with you, Ted. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.